I got to go on a field trip the Saturday after Thanksgiving a couple years ago with our client. Can you explain what we did, why we were there? The utility company, they were replacing, you said, a transformer, and we needed to lighten the load.
Basically, the utility provider was upgrading some transformers upstream or downstream of ours and upstream of ours, so our client was going to lose power. So you and I went in, and I initiated a transfer from utility to the emergency generator. So when that happens, I just hit test run on the transfer switch, and that verbiage varies from transfer switch to transfer switch. But basically, we put the system in test where it brought the generator up, it transferred to load, and then, you know, the power company could do whatever they wanted to do forever, how long they wanted to do it. And then once power was restored, our transfer switch sensed that, and then obviously started the time delay process of transferring back to utility, and then obviously cool down mode on the generator itself. So there's a lot of different types, or there's not a lot of different types, but there's certain types of generators. One's diesel, one's natural gas. Those of you, I'm not trying to get into the specifics at all, but you know, normally on a diesel generator, when it's fully loaded, it creates a lot of heat. The turbo on it gets really hot, and a lot of times the instance of the cool down period is to allow that turbo to cool down to keep from seizing it up, because I've seen some where we've actually done load tests that they got so hot you could see through them.
Wow.
That's glowing hot, and just letting it run for 3 to 4 minutes after you've removed load will not help it. It needs to actually run for 15 to 20 minutes at a nice idle, which it'll automatically do that. I wouldn't suggest bypassing the cool down time unless you absolutely know what you're doing, because if not, you could mess some things up. And then one thing I failed to mention about testing with load or without load. So if you can, on a consistent basis, if you test a generator with no load, you are building carbon up in the exhaust system. Most of you may not know what that is. A generator is designed to run basically at full load. When you're not running it at full load, it'll build up carbon and it'll wet stack. So then what happens is when you go to put load onto that generator, it will choke itself out and stall. The only way to clear the wet stacking or the carbon is to obviously get a load bank on site, and obviously a qualified generator tech would bring a load bank on site and increase in increments up the load on the generator to eventually burn the carbon out of the exhaust system to where it would be back to its normal capabilities of handling the normal load that it was designed for.
Now back to our little adventure. We actually found something wrong with our generator that day. It wouldn't transfer off, correct? Or it wouldn't cool down. Which one was it?
The fire life safety generator, we had an comms issue with the transfer switch. The transfer switch obviously transferred back to the utility, but it would not signal for the generator to cut off after the 20-minute time delay.
So it was kind of good that we were there that day and got to see it, because we had just replaced a part, correct?
That was on the larger generator that we had done a PM on it, and then obviously we hadn't done a load bank test in a while because I had done one prior. But yeah, we had replaced some parts on the larger generator that covered the UPS trailer, and then obviously the chillers inside and the air conditioner and the majority of the building.
It was just like a really cool experience for me getting to see it. I notoriously fuss at Jeremy when he goes on field trips and doesn't invite me, because I'm eager and I just want to see everything and learn everything. And it was really neat to see how to start everything. It was my first experience with working with the generator and the UPS. Jeremy thoroughly showed me around. This does this, this does that. It was a great experience. And then it was really cool seeing it not work properly and having to troubleshoot and try and figure out. I mean, it wasn't cool. It was kind of stressful and annoying that it wasn't working properly. But, you know, looking back, it was a great experience as a learning facility manager on, okay, this didn't work, this triggered this, call this person. And it was just, for me, it was an amazing experience.
Well, one, thank you. And I love your eagerness to be there and to be around me in order for me to show you things. Because a lot of people, they see some things and they're like, wow. And once they say wow, they kind of put a mental block up. Like, you can tell them 1,000 things, but they can't remember it because they're just shocked of what they seen, what they experienced. And, you know, obviously being around you, you saw it, you experienced it, and you still had questions and you still remembered what all we went through. And I'm sure I could probably send you over to that client today and say, hey, you need to start this generator up because they're going to lose power tonight doing a transfer, a power swap or something. And I feel 100% that I had faith in you, you could do it.
I probably could. I know how to get in and what to look for. I just need the keys.
I've always been a hands-on kind of guy. And, reading something, you can forget it.
Right.
It goes in one ear and out the other, or one eyeball and out the other, however you want to call it. But seeing it and experiencing it, not necessarily having to jump in and have my hands in it, but seeing someone do it, it's always helped me understand, you know, what to do's, what not to do's, who to call, and what can we do to get them back up and going.
Right.
It's really funny. My aunt moved out from California, her and her husband Frank, and they bought a house up in Lexington, and we were all up there last summer. And we were all in the basement. She has a finished basement. We were all downstairs, and lo and behold, my son goes upstairs to use the restroom. Well, he flushes the toilet, and next thing you know, water's dripping on the table.
No.
Yeah, and everybody's just standing around, like, what do I do? So she had ceiling tiles as the ceiling, so I just start popping out ceiling tiles and got a flashlight, got towels, started trying to clean stuff up, and come to find out, that toilet where it had tied into another line, the Y had cracked.
Oh.
And, you know, everybody was like, well, how do you know to do that? I'm like, well, how do you not know to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you got to gain access to see where the leak is.
You know how to troubleshoot.
True. I will say one funny story. I hope my next door neighbor doesn't see this or hear this, but one time he had asked me to help him get rid of some Leland cypress trees next to his house, his front door entrance. And I'm like, yeah, sure. I just hook my old truck up to it and I'll just slowly pull them out. You know, and I was like, when you see a root, you know, just chop it. You know, the roots will die when you pull those trees out. And the first one went really well. Just pulled it right over, pulled it right out, cut it up, burn it. Second one, start pulling it over. He just starts whacking. So he ends up whacking the water line to the well.
Oh, Lord.
So his breaker box was right inside the garage. And I was in my truck, you know, looking in my rearview mirror, and I see a geyser. So I put it in park. I jump out, and he's like, cut the power to the well. So his well is at the end of his driveway at the street.
Okay.
So he takes off running to the street. And before he even got to his street, to his well at the end of the street, I already walked into the garage, seen the breaker for the well, and cut it off. And he's like, how did you know to do that? I get it. There are some folks out there that are book smart and very intelligent, but can't even turn a screwdriver.
Yeah.
I definitely am not. I am somewhat intelligent. But I can definitely tell you I can turn a screwdriver better than I can do numbers in Excel or Word or PowerPoint document. But I've just always been a hands-on guy. My dad had a steel chainsaw when I was, I think, 9 or 10 years old. And he couldn't get the dang thing to crank to save his life. So he just threw it up in the shed and was like, he went and bought another one. So I snuck out in the garage in that building one day, and I just took it completely apart, everything in a million pieces, and just cleaned it. All I did was clean it, and I put it all back together. And I said, Daddy, pour some gas in this and see if you can crank it. I couldn't even pull it to crank it. That's how small I was. I mean, I wasn't that strong, but I mean, it was a really big chainsaw, so it wasn't like, yeah. You know, I was a weakling. I've never been a weakling, but, you know, obviously by my size. But my dad put gas in it, and he cranked it up, cranked the first time. And wow. He was like, holy cow, how did you do that? I said, I just took it apart and cleaned everything and put it back together. And I'm not saying you take all your generators and UPSs apart and put them back together, but, you know, it just goes to show that some folks are capable or not capable. That's the wrong term. Let me rephrase that. There are a lot of folks out there that are not mechanically inclined, and there are a lot of folks out there that are mechanically inclined. And definitely the ones that are mechanically inclined, you see them few and far between these days. Mm-hmm. Not going to get into why, as they're the whys as to why there's not that many tradesmen out there. We don't have that much time, and nor will this podcast get very far. But, you know, you can tell when you have a qualified person on site.
Yeah.
And if they know what they're doing.
And as a facility manager, you're not the wrench turner anymore. A lot of facility managers, you're not the wrench turner anymore. That's what your engineers are for. But you still need to know how to. That's the hard part, is learning how to manage the situation, the workflow, all of that, and dealing with the stakeholders. That's really more your role as a facility manager. Whereas you are very strong in the engineering because that's your background, and I'm more strong on some of the other, and that's why you and I feel like mesh so well. You taught me a ton. I tried teaching you some things. I don't know if it stuck.
They stuck.
But, you know, yes, you have to know the hands-on, but as a facility manager, you have to actually kind of be hands-off 90% of the time.
Yeah, I do miss being out in the field. I do. But I have a lot of stuff to do at home, so I turn wrenches and screwdrivers at home.
You're always doing something.
Yeah. My honey-do list is long but distinguished. So, but yeah, I do miss being out in the field. And to get what you're saying, when you step away from that, it's always nice to know, or the, you know, your technicians. And I don't ever claim to be a know-it-all. And I always say that when a technician comes to me and says, "Well, I think this is wrong," whatever the case may be, whether it's HVAC, whether it's generators, UPSs, plumbing. I'll say something to them, and I'll say, you know, my first remark is, I'm not trying to argue. I'm just trying to rule out everything, or what are the possibilities could it be? And you know, they respect that. And it, I don't want to say that I put myself to where I use what I know to catch people doing wrong things or people quoting stuff that I just don't really need. I do it as in they have respect for me, and I have the utmost respect for them. Because I can learn just as much over the phone now, mm-hmm. whereas before, like I said, I needed to see it as growing up, and not saying since I've seen it, I don't want to see it anymore, and I know it all, and that's not the case, but it is very beneficial. You know, like I did some visits the other day at some of my clients' locations, and, you know, the lady was like, "Why are you taking so many pictures?" And I was like, "Well, ma'am, whenever you call me, or, you know, you put in a work order that, you know, your sprinkler system's leaking, or, you know, your generator's running, you don't know where it's at, you don't know where the transfer switch, you don't know anything." I said, "Then I just go in your file folder for that location, and I'll look through the pictures, and I'll say, it's there, and this is the green box, that's your transfer switch, outside by the utility transformer is your generator." So it always helps seeing some things when you've never seen them before, because there's locations that I serve for or take care of for my client now, not yours, but you know, I've never been to.
Yeah.
And they'll call you up and they'll be like, "Hey, what do I do?" And I'm like, first thing I tell them obviously is create a work order.
Yeah.
I never advise my client to go into harm's way or put themselves into a dangerous situation, like, for instance, resetting breakers.
Yeah.
Cutting off generators or manually transferring the load if the generator doesn't transfer back to utility. No. Mainly it's just guidance on where things are at.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's also good too for folks that are, if they, even if you don't have a maintenance guy, but you're that go-to person on the at site or even remotely, to know where your stuff is. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the locations that I visited last week, the oddest thing is generators on the roof. Mm-hmm. You know, so if, let's just say your provider doesn't, your generator provider doesn't relay that to the technician and it's an emergency type situation, and the guy gets there and he circles the building 500 times and he's like, he calls up dispatch and says,
there's
no dang generator here.
Yeah.
And dispatch goes, yeah, there is. Well, he's going, his first remark's going to be, where's it at?
Yeah.
You know, it's in a locked penthouse,
yeah.
A locked penthouse on the roof. And there's quite a few locations where we have the generators on the roof.
Before we wrap up, I do like to wrap up with bloopers or funny work orders. Do you have any to share today? I'm sure you have a ton, but...
I always get caught up on this one because I was asked this before and I was like, I can't remember anything.
I know, I do too. There's only one that keeps coming back to me. Like, I mean, of course, we all get the, my shut off valve won't shut off. And it's like, you know, your shut off valve?
Yeah.
Or like, so my really good one, I was going to save this one, but you were around for this. We get a work order for a dock door not shutting one night. And it was an emergency work order. It gets called in. I answer the phone, blah, blah, blah. I'm not looking at the computer. I'm handling it via phone. Well, so, I'm assuming it was my call our call center mistyped, but it did not type dock door. It said, my dick door does not shut. And I did not catch it for 6 months. And I created multiple copies of this work order and sent it to several service providers, and no one called me out on it until I went to email the client through the work order and was reading over it and went, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this. So yes, we've had that, the shit off valves, anything else?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I know everyone that's listened to this or will listen to it has seen My Christmas Vacation. And I wished we could just get away with the shitter's full, send
yes.
help. But, you know, technically you can't say that, so I guess we would say the crapper is full, please send help.
Please send help.
Now.
Okay, one more, and this is in honor of Jeff, our coworker that passed away. We had a location flooding, our location that you and I went to, and remember all the videos and photos that were going around, and he responded back, it looks like the Titanic, guys, y'all should probably get out. They were walking through the water with the electrical outlets and everything, and I just remember him saying that, and, you know, he was a man of few words, so when he made a joke, like, it was hella funny.
It was.
We miss him greatly.
Yeah, you got me heartstruck.
I'm sorry.
For those of you who don't know, I still haven't taken him out of my favorites list on my phone.
I love that, Jeremy.
He was a man of few words, but when he had something to say, he was very funny and very catchy.
Yes. Well, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you again. And I'm going to have you come back probably for 2 or 3 more topics just because you're such a wealth of knowledge and I appreciate all of your insight, your stories, your friendship, your mentorship, all of the above. But thank you so much for coming today. And just as a quick plug for this podcast, anybody listening will rate and review this podcast. It does help us with more visibility on charts or whatever it is. So if you'll rate and review it, if you liked it, if you don't, please don't tell me. Just kidding.
May have something to do with me.
If you don't like Big Red, get over it. But thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. And I'll be back next week.
So one question.
Yeah.
That I have that I think a lot of people will have.
Oh, shoot.
What if they want to hear more about specifics on generators and UPSs? Who do they reach out to?
So I do have an email, hello@facilityfiles. That is a good question. You can email them.
If you just want to hear more in depth on generators, more in depth on UPS systems, you know, what more can you learn on them just as being an on-site person or a person that's not a technician, because I'm not a technician, but as a facility manager, definitely here to answer questions and show any type of guidance that I can. But I was curious what happens if...
Hello@facilityfiles.com is the email, and I can get them in... If you want to speak directly to Jeremy, I can get them in contact with you. Or if just a general question, I'll get you linked up with someone. Are you even active on LinkedIn, sir? Do you have a LinkedIn?
I have a LinkedIn. I still get emails. I can't tell you the last time I logged into it.
We need to get you back active.
Yeah.
Are you under Jeremy?
Jeremy.
Jeremy Haynes. And then I'm Elizabeth Ignatowitz on LinkedIn. I'll make sure to get you in contact with Jeremy if you need him. He's a good one to have in your back pocket.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look forward to coming back.
Anytime. All right. Bye, y'all.
Thanks, everyone.